Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. To learn more, visit rt11.com.
Hardcore is a new series from Heritage Radio Network. Over six episodes, we're taking a close look at the rebirth of American cider.
Really, it wasn't until about 10 years ago that cider started to be revitalized in the United States.
From the science of fermentation.
So yeast, it's a fungus. It's a unicellular fungus.
To the magic of terroir.
What really excites us is thinking about communicating that very sort of spiritual aspect of knowing a piece of land.
We're setting aside our cider donuts to gain a deeper understanding of this singular beverage.
I love a cider donut. You don't have to have a cider donut with your cider, and I will die on that point.
Subscribe to Hardcore wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. It's November.
Oh my God, is it? Still?
Still.
What do you mean it's November? It's almost December. Thanksgiving weekend is going to fall
you were
on
not
December.
With us
the way
last
you
week.
Said that, it was like it just started I to know. Be November.
I know. It's actually it's like the end of November.
Way past Veterans Day.
I mean, well, we know what day it's getting close to because we saw Patrick outside pulling thousands of turkeys out of a truck.
I mean, are you going to announce that our ex-mayor might run?
It's Thursday, November 21st. This is the main course OG. Patrick, what would you like to announce? What is happening in the world of politics
also,
today?
Wait, I have one
Bloomberg
question.
Is going to announce
sex with a turkey?
What, are you getting all your good questions out because the lamb people were quiet?
Hey.
Too you respectable. Know, they were too respectable to do that. Too.
Thank you for saving that. And yes. I'll tell you, if I was there, it would have been a laugh riot.
I'm glad it was a softer show.
So
I
Brandon
really
held back? When he didn't go back, what did he try to enter into that realm with? What was the...
Well, I mean, based
what
on
did
the
you talk
question...
About?
Clearly, Patrick listened to last week's show.
I know. I was like, where was he?
No, we talked about grasses.
Let me tell you,
what
I
did
entered,
you do to try
I entered
to be
into
naughty?
It. Let's just say that.
Okay. Entered into it.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
There was a sign I told you entering Brandon in Oregon on the way from...
Oh, yeah, Brandon, Oregon.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great.
Entering Brandon. Yeah.
People send me that.
Exiting Brandon.
People send me that picture all the time.
I almost
take this
went back.
Merge right to exit Brandon.
Yeah.
As fast as
all
possible.
Right, I retract what I said before. It's almost December, and we don't have a show next week. So basically, it's December.
See, when you say something's wrong, you're going to get terrible, boring, disconnected tangents going on.
Oh, thanks. Oh, it works. All right. Well, I'm happy to be with everybody today.
Yeah.
We had
got
a great
Brandon
party.
Hoy. We have Patrick Martins. We had a great party where?
10th anniversary.
Yes, we
party
did.
For Radio Network. Did you announce that last week?
Yes, we did.
Did they did a great job?
I believe they call it a gala.
A
correct
gala.
Me if I'm wrong.
And a few people noted that Patrick dressed up.
Whoa.
What, you mean I only wear two layers of flannel? Is that what you're saying?
A few of the chefs said to me they felt they were underdressed and they were judging based on they know you usually go casual.
Yeah, no one overdresses when they think it's a, you know, that they have to be like me. No, but it was just fantastic. The food was fantastic. Your sandwich, Chef Trigg, was amazing. It was basically a ham and cheese sandwich.
Well, we got to just credit Danielle for the milk bread there, and you guys for the culatello. Holy shit.
The bread at that event was amazing. Their bread, Roberta's bread.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
It should have just been bread. That was all.
I mean, you know how I feel about bread.
Yeah. Speaking of,
we saw it. We just saw it.
It's crazy. Yeah, about 220. About 220. Yeah, it's full. I have a belly full of bread. Hey, first of all, you are definitely not one to talk, buddy.
No, listen, I'm husky.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and what do you call you? You first of all, you said you look emaciated.
I don't think you get
until I
word.
Pulled my shirt up. You were like, "Oh my god, I didn't know that existed."
It's concealed very skillfully.
Is that why you wear a basketball?
But
in
you
my
do wear
shirt.
NBA like jump sweatshirts and.
He
stuff
looks like
that,
he's in the end of his second trimester.
Patty's almost there.
I'm having some heart issues as well. I'm definitely not in a good place.
Are you actually?
I don't know. I mean, I don't feel good.
There's technology. It's fine.
I know. Just get it removed.
Yeah. a robot heart.
Yeah.
Be fine.
We do want to introduce the other voice in the studio with us. We have Trig Brown, chef owner of Winsun and Winsun Bakery.
Big
and
Trig.
Good friend.
That's my dad.
Big Trig?
Trig, yeah.
I'm do Trig. You call him that?
No, I don't, but other people do.
And they what's, do. What's his father's name?
Actually, he's Trig as well. But
I know, but
he
is
goes
he like...
by Ned for some reason. Yeah. That's well, he weird. Went by Ned. Yeah.
I don't quite understand this whole, like, the nicknames that fall from, you know, having the same name as your father.
Like,
as
how
your
do
grandfather.
They call John Kennedy Jack? Sometimes they would call him Jack. John, Jack. Why Jack? His name is John.
I agree.
Richard Dick. Patty.
Richard Dickhouse.
From Patrick from... Pate, you know, Patty, you know what?
I, oh, don't I like know Pate. Works. I might actually start calling you Pate.
Well, when you see
Vic,
me
Vic Pate,
rain threes on your ass, then oh. Yes, you will call me Pate because it is my three. Shots like
Brandon, what are your
Pate.
What are your nicknames that friends call you or your parents?
Brand, hey you.
Brand,
buddy. Hey, buddy, get over here. Hey, right. Sometimes bud. People just use like a noise. Like,
boss.
The common one.
What's your nickname? M?
Yeah, mostly M.
M.
Okay. Yeah.
Emmy, I get. A lot of Spanish guys end up calling me like Emmy, Amy.
Mommy?
Yeah. That's
oh, I can't wait till all somebody right, we calls are me mommy.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to...
It's close. Not as far as you think.
We're sort of in a Thanksgiving
theme. We've derailed the show
to, yeah,
like
exactly.
In the first like 8 minutes.
All right, actually, let's stay on focus. Emily and I spent hours and tens of hours.
No,
coming
I think
up with
I
these
think
questions.
You put the show together with Trig last night as you were eating tortillas.
No, actually, when I got home, Trig was like, "I'm not doing your show up until this morning."
Well, what were we talking about at dinner? The frustrations of sauce and.
Oh, that's Trig. Where this came from.
We should get to our outline, but could you tell the sauce fiasco? Because I think all people want to hear it.
Yeah, so, you know, we're at Los Hermanos. I live close by. And, you know, the sauces are, there's two of every sauce, and there's only about three or four rounds of each pair. And,
for maybe 20 tables.
Right, and but it works out. And so you just find the sauce, and you get it for a little bit, and then when somebody needs their sauce, they grab it from you. And I couldn't find any sauce. I was like, what the hell's going on here? And I went over, and this couple was puppy guarding sauce with no food on their table. And I was like, hey, do you mind if I grab that? I'll bring it right back. And they were like, no, we're about to get our food. And I was like, well, I was just in that situation. And
I have my food.
And I have my food. And there's other – and then and like kind of on the way over there, I asked one guy if he was finished with the sauce. And he's like, no. And he was like putting it on per bite. It was just very like –
So did you bring your sauce plate guardy. To their table? Yeah.
No,
I would have been like, so I'm going to bring my plate to your table.
No, I was like, I'll bring it right back and like kind of like just rejected their
They're not New Yorkers.
Yeah, so I grabbed it and we like sauced enthusiastically for the first half of our meal, and then they got their food and I felt bad, so I just brought it back because they clearly didn't get it. But, you know, it was very like...
What is the etiquette there?
The etiquette is like...
You have to be willing to get up and
find sauce. It has to be
sauce.
Fluid. Yeah, it has to be a fluid sauce.
No, or if someone says, I'll bring it back, you really should bring it back.
Yeah, I brought it back. I did
bring
it
back. But he did end up taking sauce from these two guys who went through their whole meal without any sauce.
So ironically. What? No, I did not.
Maybe they didn't know there was sauce to be had.
I know.
Yeah,
and what was the best sauce?
Ooh, I like the
green one. I usually like reds.
I like
what
the red.
Is red?
I mean, it's like a tomato
chipotle.
No, the chipotle one's usually like a dark brown, like a dark brown one.
Yeah, in the adobo sauce, the canned chipotle is so fucking good.
And then you guys were talking about some kind of crispy bread.
No, they it's just burnt.
I like burnt.
On purpose or accidentally?
Oh, I mean, it took a little while. Maybe it toasted, but I prefer it like that. Patrick does not, but I.
On very, I mean, that's cheap bread. That's not like a great bread. And so cheap bread gets very, very brittle.
Yeah, I like to cut my mouth on the bread.
Nothing like a just like worn mouth with cuts all over it from eating burnt bread.
I love that.
Crumbs stuck in it.
I mean, I hate that. I have to
from like shitty hard garlic bread.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into that too. I mean, when you put the Listerine in, it's like it's really painful. Yeah. I like that,
but you do it on purpose just to let you wake up. You're like, I can't wait to do this. There's so many cuts in my mouth. Just
yeah, I must pass out in the shower. I Listerine in the shower. It's 30 seconds. It's got.
So we'd be remiss to not ask if you were a sauce. What sauce would you be?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I hate to say it. I think if a sandwich were named after me at a deli, it would be just because it like had a shit ton of mayo or tartar sauce.
You're definitely mayo. You are no doubt mayo. Yeah.
No, what sauce would I be? 100%
mayo.
I love Honeycup mustard. Oh. Can I be Honeycup? Have you ever had
Mardi Gras mustard from Popeyes?
I've only looked at Popeyes.
Rich Ho put me on the Mardi Gras mustard. Mardi Gras mustard.
It's like the dipping sauce for the.
Oh yeah.
For the what is chicken poppers.
It's a sauce. It's mustard, like sweet mustard sauce.
You know? Like I would buy
your sauce. Your sauce, that universal sauce. Can you describe it?
Well, we use Lao Gan Ma. It's a you like this sauce?
No.
Or you like the chili?
The red chilies.
That and the Peter Luger sauce
are my favorite.
Oh, Pete Wells doesn't agree.
I know, but tell me what's in your sauce, because it's delicious.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's not my sauce. We use a condiment. You know, a lot of people know it as grandma sauce or Lao Gan Ma. It's like a chili crisp, Szechuan chili crisp. Mm. It's very, very good.
You can pour it on anything. You can dump anything.
I do.
Yes, same. Yeah, the best. But honestly, I've had one better. May Lynn from Nightshade, her chili crisp is wild good. It's the best.
Where's chili Nightshade? Crisp
I've ever had in LA.
Oh, you were just there. Did you go?
I unfortunately didn't because I wanted to see her too. So I went to dinner. Patty and May Lynn and John Yao and our friend Matt. We went to some Taiwanese spots together and had some food.
Did you have that famous Japanese egg sandwich that is? Is that Kanbi?
I know Akira, and I went to Kanbi. I ate there last year as well. It's delicious, very just perfectly executed and delicious.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's like a white bread, edges cut off, little tea sandwich with egg in it.
Well, it's not a little tea sandwich, so like that's how we would know. But like it's a big white bread sandwich. It's a big white bread sandwich. It's box bread with milk dough. So kind of similar to like the type of bread that inspired the milk bread that we cook at Winsun. Like not directly, but culturally speaking. And
it is amazing how different bread culture is. Like they're both breads and bakeries, and yet their breads are totally on the opposites of ends of the spectrum. I mean, literally, you're amazed that they both fall under bread. Yeah. They're so different from one another. That bread and then the Roberta's very thick, dense bread, It's amazing.
Well, I also just think that, like, for something like Kanbi, like, that you think white bread, you think shitty, run-of-the-mill, you get it at whatever supermarket.
Who thinks that? Not me.
No, first of all, love Wonder Bread. Sorry. Second of all, this is, like, a perfectly executed box, like, bread with milk dough. So it's like, the Japanese pride themselves on, everything being perfect, and especially culinarily, so it's kind of like, their egg sandwich being their most popular item is kind of like a perfect example of like a, I don't know.
Simple perfection.
Growing up in the 70s, there were no bakeries on the Upper East Side, which is a nice, educated neighborhood right by the Metropolitan Museum. There were no bakeries. You had to eat Wonder Bread until Eli's opened, the Zabar brother or son, and he opened. And then you would have to order the bread, like on Thanksgiving or Christmas. You'd have to order a week in advance, and he put your name on the thing, and there just wasn't enough to go around. His guy was working 20 hours days to make it for the thing. And now there's two bakeries starving. In Bushwick.
The people of the Upper West Side starving. They can't even get a loaf of bread.
No, but I mean, they live near one of the few bakeries. But now there's two amazing bakeries. Impoverished.
Like they're just
famished.
They're on the streets, just sprawled out. Bread, I need bread.
There's no
bread anywhere. Damn you, Eli.
Let's go to a serious question. Favorite poultry?
Oh. Does Go ahead.
Wow, that's a good one. I would probably go duck.
That's a waterfowl. That's a waterfowl. So next, that's a waterfowl.
Yeah.
Poultry's got to be quail.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely. Like, not the fucking like fancy quail that everybody serves in New York. I like.
Like a pigeon.
I would go pigeon. I like to grill them with bacon, covered and wrapped in bacon on the grill after like
a nice
you shoot
rock,
them.
I like a nice rock dove.
A rock dove is a good one, too. Same thing with a dove, though. I like it wrapped in bacon and grilled.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Nothing better than that.
Stuff it.
Do you guys like rabbit?
Yeah. That's not poultry.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
Good point.
But no. I like it. It could fly. Some fly. They're very fast. When they're running very fast, it looks
what
like
are my
flying.
Poultry
I've
choices.
Shot a rabbit before.
Squab.
Really?
Yeah.
Pigeon.
Grouse.
We actually, one time here, shot a grouse we actually had a seminar on how to clean a rabbit.
Oh,
so
I remember.
We killed
the rabbits here.
Yeah, people were pissed. We had live rabbits. And, you know, like when you slaughter them... you put a dowel over the back of their neck and you grab their back legs and you break their neck super fast. It's really the best, most humane way to do this. It's very quick.
Unless you shoot them with a 12 gauge.
But see, the problem with that is then there's not a lot of meat anyways. Now you're like pulling pellet
out. You dirtied
it. Yeah, but you use the right, you know, you raise the right
rabbit
shells.
Gauge. Yeah, Laskoy rabbit. And then you know you pull their fur off like pajamas. You pretty much just slit it, and you can just rip the fur off completely.
What'd you do with the rabbit fur?
That's so long ago. I don't know. I probably bathed in it.
Didn't you have keychains made with those?
The lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah. Oh, would you agree that quail is your favorite poultry, Emily?
No, I'm going to be boring.
You're under contract. You're under contract to say turkeys.
Yeah. Well, I do quite like turkey, and I like chicken.
We're serving our turkey with a prime rib.
A nice Sasso chicken?
Yeah, sure.
All right, good chicken is absolutely
good. Frank Reese poultry.
What do most people hate about you? I mean, if there's something, some aspect, you have 100, you know, spokes on your personality.
I hate everything about you, Patrick.
Everything, so all 100?
Like, yeah.
So what is the thing? The thing that people, I guess who you work with or live with, but probably work with.
Maybe can be a little too direct at times. Maybe can get hung up on.
I said, don't like when you look me in the eyes like that.
Yeah.
Gives me willies.
What is it?
I'll avert my gaze before.
So Brandon, what about
you? It is a beautiful
you?
Gaze though.
How many employees can I ask this on air?
A lot.
200?
Plus.
So at 300, let's say, employees. What is the attribute they most like about you? And
I'm pretty.
Like
I don't know
you?
If they even know who I am. Half of them. Really? I would say most of them have no clue.
You also
who I
said
am.
Hate. That's very strong.
I know hate.
Is it not dislike?
Dislike.
Find irritating.
No, I mean, but sometimes, like you know, hate's like a good thing for your you know, like people.
You got to let it out.
Yeah.
You kind of got to. You would have to ask them what they hate about me. I'm sure there's all types of things.
Oh, I know. Are you aloof?
Am I aloof to their hatred towards me? I can feel it and sense it. I try to not engage on what it actually is.
We should ask one of the.
I know. Somebody.
We
what
should
you
bring
hate?
Someone in from the from the Roberta's audience.
What do you hate about?
Get Kip in here.
I think he's doing
an interview.
Interview.
Yeah.
I think he's
all right. Let's go to a more
like
positive
that. Patrick,
topic.
You did not answer the question.
Yeah. What
for
do people
yourself?
Hate about you?
I mean, what's there to hate? I'm trying to be. I'm like Peter Luger sauce. I'm sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm abundant. You know, I try to help.
Pretty
things.
Much all catch up.
You've sat on the shelf for years. A few weeks.
You know, Peter no Luger sauce. Me. You have to find in the refrigerated cold case at supermarkets.
That's true. You do.
Just like the Bahamta pickles, which is
Bahamta?
Like a. How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Bahamta. Pickles, those ones that it's like a sea.
I don't think
of
I get
ocean.
Those pickles.
I'm not familiar with that brand.
No. Yeah.
You do. You know
Hitzpah.
It. They're a Jewish pickle. It's stuff written on Hebrew, and it looks like a bottom of the ocean with milky water and pieces.
Sounds delicious.
Briny.
Yeah, can you bring those in next week? I'm very.
What are the pickles with the stork on it?
Stork?
Maybe it's not a stork.
Stork?
It looks like a pelican.
Ooh. I think it is
a stork.
So can we go to a more positive question? Just trying to keep your least favorite food culture and why?
Wow.
Ooh.
Russian.
Russian, great answer.
It's a good culture to hate on right now. It's
How many Russian restaurants are there in New York? I mean, outside of that neighborhood Brighton and the Beach. Russian.
I
mean,
I actually enjoy Russian.
I love
food
like
culture.
The pickled herring and like
It's so weird and it's
does that count?
It's just like totally.
Yeah.
And beets, all that Eastern European.
Yeah, I mean, like I like Veselka for certain items. I've been to Brighton Beach to some Russian restaurant. It's just,
Tatiana's.
It's very heavy. But then also Russian culture goes to like these places like Orange Grill.
Are you watching Catherine the Great on HBO?
No, I'm not. Should I be?
I don't know.
Dame Judi Dench.
Tell me something.
I have to be honest with you. I would say my least favorite food culture would be like the hippie grain, vegetarian. Yes.
Good answer.
That is a good answer.
I agree.
Like 70s California cuisine.
No, I don't think you can say California. At this point, it's just like hempy.
It's not. Now, it's like,
hemp and seeds.
Yeah, it's like a hacky sacker made it. Like it's like he like stopped making his raw grain for you to play a game of hacky sack, devil sticks.
Yes. I'm also not super into British food culture.
But you do love Meghan Markle.
I do.
Yeah,
but
she's
an American.
Not British.
I know she's not. We talk about her enough. I know she's American, but she has adapted this new English lifestyle, and you find this intriguing. So I think actually deep down inside, you want to be English.
Yeah, but like I don't love all the heaviness.
You want to be British nobility?
Like, yeah. I'm not a bone marrow person. The Scotch egg, it's just all too heavy. Yeah. Makes you want to.
That's why you didn't. Marry
I actually
him.
Don't. I don't disagree. It is very. It's. I wouldn't say it's my least favorite culture, but it is a very heavy.
Trey, what's yours?
Least favorite
food culture.
I don't know. That's a really hard. No,
the hippie one. I don't even know.
I got a good second place though.
I think for me, in like suburban areas, there's like commercial sprawl, where you know it's like big malls with like cheesecake factories and like these types of like
is that a food culture?
No, definitely
is
a food
American
culture.
It is actually middle America food culture.
Dude, it's such bullshit.
You put Applebee's fucking and all
sucks.
Those in that category?
Yes, and there's even some like there's this one, I'm from Richmond, Virginia, outside of Richmond, Virginia. There's this one restaurant that's like a sushi restaurant out in this like urban sprawl. Out into the country that used to be like beautiful fields and stuff. And I love
it. Doesn't even look like sushi, right? It's like a 5-pound
Does it have a conveyor belt?
No. It's like there's like banquettes that are like 6 feet tall, and it's like people
beautiful.
Are spending just like hundreds of dollars on this like shitty, shitty sushi that's like, you know, it's, I mean, honestly, like some of it can be delicious, but it's like, there's no like, I don't know. It's like it was just there.
I mean, if you navigate yourself through a Cheesecake Factory menu, you might find something.
Yeah, look.
It's like the carving station at the walk-around buffet in a bad place.
A Sizzler?
You're sure it's good.
I guess like
I've
that.
I've never been there.
To a Sizzler?
Never.
You're not missing out.
Ugh.
Or a Red Lobster.
Ugh.
I would much rather eat it like, you know, Faith Chinese over on Graham.
Right.
And I love that food. And like also if you get to know the people, they'll make you special stuff. And like, and it's like, I don't know. That's like real. But when you get... And when it's so commercial, sometimes it's so sugar-coated and like, you know.
I will say about the Lobster Club, they do see food differently.
Lobster Club.
I'm going to change my answer.
Chili's
is a great
strawberry
lemonade.
Because this is something that's bothered me forever, and my wife hears it. I hate fusion.
My restaurant?
No, there was
a moment in like 2004 to 2008.
Fusion
in the 90s.
Is confusion.
Like. Not fusion, not like the idea of pulling things together, but I hate the like.
No, I totally know what you mean.
The like American Chinese Japanese restaurant,
yes,
and it's called fusion with a Z.
Oh, yes,
like
and there's
or even like a lot of Pacific Rim like kind of.
Funny that you say that. Vibes. There was a restaurant in Ann Arbor that was all fusion called Pacific Rim, but it was
Pacific
like super high end. Every menu.
Well,
has
you know, I lived in
tuna.
Hawaii, so this was like a really in the 90s. This was such a popular thing. Fusion.
No, we don't like the word fusion because of its like. connotation, but like we are undeniably fusion, but we like approach it from a very historical, like we like read a lot of history books.
Trick, the reality is almost everybody at this point is fusion.
Yeah, he like, doesn't mean it like, that way. He
no, no, I know exactly.
I think I'm talking about the culture of the idea of, as a marketing thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, with the pinnacle being Zimmern's like restaurant, the Lucky Cricket. Like, not
there's
to,
like there's those restaurants you see that it's like it's Japanese, Vietnamese, and Chinese, and you're like, how could they do any one of those things good? It's just so like it's just
Brandon,
it's
you've added a new mantra to the radio station. Get ready with the applause. Like, confusion say fusion is confusion.
I mean, we should get Confucius here to help
to,
us elaborate.
To allow us to use that in quotes.
So the next time your family says, I'm in the mood for Asian fusion.
I would like a pan-Asian restaurant.
I don't think anyone's ever said that to me. That would be like saying, I want to listen to some Pearl Jam.
You know what also struck me as racist when like the Museum of Modern Art would have the art of Africa. I'm like, isn't that go from like Egypt to South Africa? Don't you want to regionalize that a little bit, you know, and say at least the countryside? It's Africa or we're Pan-Asian. Yeah, no, there's a lot of bad food out there.
Pan-Asian, right. That's a good one too.
Yeah, Pan-Asian. It's like one wok, you know, and I'm like, it's all the same wok.
Oh, God.
Why,
it made me think of this fast food place, Walk to... What's it
walk
called?
To Walk to
Walk. Walk to Walk.
I was going to say, work. The Walk of Life.
Sure. That's good. That, are you going to open that place?
Yeah, sure. Why not? All Let's right. go,
Trey. I will say I do like Panda Express so much.
I've
and I respect that business owner. He's a badass.
We could do... We should do a restaurant called Walkie Talkie.
Oh, God. Well, I do like this. They are kind of inadvertently promoting my new brand of hot walks. That you carry with you.
That's
when
a
you
good
go
one too.
Hiking.
Hot walks.
When
hot
you
walks.
Go hiking and mountain climbing, you have this sizzling walk to keep you nourished.
Do you have a sauce in your pocket? Which
yes,
sauce? Would
sauce
it be?
Different sauces.
Tartar sauce.
And my great idea that they
mayonnaise,
they
we know
create
this.
A rolling Subway sandwich display in airplanes. So you can get, you know, you can choose from 10 types of bread. There's like 30 different toppings, lettuce, olives, tomatoes, onions.
Can you just imagine though? I mean, I love this idea. I think it's genius. But could you just imagine your flight attendant making you a sandwich?
Oh my God.
I'm like oil and vinegar.
Subway hates me, by the way. I have like my sandwich order dialed in and they really dislike the way.
Why?
Because like, I like the Subway Club on Parmesan Oregano, extra toasted, but I like to inverse the ham and roast beef portions.
No, you're right.
And
to
it
say
creates
that.
Confusion where they like to, they got to upcharge because it's so dialed, the model, that like it actually costs more to do more ham. That's why they do more roast beef. So like they have to like calculate the upcharge because not many people really
micromanage
them. Why
don't you just tell
them,
I know what this costs. I come here often.
I don't because it's different. You know, some people don't charge. You know, some people, some employees don't.
Oh, it's not one particular Subway location. Like,
yeah. I mean, maybe they're franchised. I'm not really sure what
kind of. No, I think they are franchised. I think they're just owned individually. So
you know my famous story? I got banned from a coffee shop because their grilled cheese sandwich costs like $5.45. But if you ordered a buttered roll with cheese on it as a side and then just ask them to heat it up, it comes to like 88 cents.
And he also does it. He also
they
does
finally
it at
said
Natural.
$6. I was like, fuck out. You'll never
did
get
you,
$6.
Did you guys see this?
Drag me out of there.
There's this McDonald's scam that was like the internet had made famous where you could go, there was some sort of discount, and on the automated thing, you could order, if you ordered 10 sandwiches but removed the patty, it would somehow give you a credit of $1. So then you would have a credit of $1, which you could then buy. So you could get 10 empty pieces of bun and then one hamburger for free because in the system it had some sort of like
technical
thing
that
so you just started taking out all of if you did it 10 times it would give you $1.
Did you guys grow up in an era of are you guys old enough where you could put tape on a $1 bill for concession stands you
oh
know,
pull it back out
pull it back out yeah
That didn't last long. They fixed that problem fairly quickly.
Yeah. No, I know.
You used to also be able to just reach up inside of it, just like arc your arm and just like grab the lowest.
Now they're too like fancy. They have like a little thing that moves.
Now they have like a thing that cuts your arm off. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure. Like you put your hand in there. Just
wait.
By the way, you know that
you put a piece of tape and it thinks that it's
no. You add basically double the length of the bill, but with very many layers of tape.
So it registers the bill. Break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think so. Yeah, when it goes in and then you would just pull it back out.
Guys, did you ever go to Rome and see the mouth of truth where the verdict would come and you would stick your arm in and you're like, please don't cut it off. And they're like, I'm innocent. Or, I'm guilty. That's how they'd find out.
Wow.
Mouth of truth.
Never been to Rome.
Oh, definitely never stuck my arm in a giant mouth.
Wait, been to Rome. Where is this mouth?
I don't know.
Are you sure you were at a late night?
Okay, all right. We don't need to talk about that, Trig. This is a family show.
Should we play Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Oh, I like this idea.
As I say, this is a family show.
Yes, Fuck, Marry, Kill.
You guys know how I feel about this stupid game.
Appetizers, main course, dessert.
You love this game, Brandon. It's the only time you were like,
all right, I'll go first. Absolutely killing dessert. For sure marrying appetizers, and I would fuck the main course.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean,
I could live exclusively off of small little
plates. I'll tell you this, at 11 o'clock, you know how many people are saying fuck the main course?
Yeah.
Probably everybody.
Yeah. Wait a second. Yeah. Are they talking about this show?
Oh my gosh, Patrick. Ah! Who would ever? Nobody.
I would fuck dessert,
me too.
Marry the main course, and kill appetizers. Because
they ruin your check average?
Appetizers? No, I mean that too, but like they're not reliable enough across the board. They're not reliable enough across the board, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're not reliable. It's like, you know, you gotta get rid of them.
Yeah.
Just fucking shit up.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely fucking dessert.
Dude, yeah.
Hard. I'm gonna myself, yeah. Like near a garbage can.
Baby. Yeah, some salt.
With no, like, just, like, really, with a nasty look on my face.
Well, speaking sexual stuff, if you were a cut of beef, what cut would you be?
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
A cut of beef. Something, your power cut,
something
if you
shitty
will.
And fatty.
Yeah, like a tripe.
What do you mean? Don't you love the little stew meat? Heritage
tips. Foods USA stew meat is the most underrated cut of meat in the game.
Yeah. What about a brisket?
I'll buy all of your stew meat if you
really.
Can. Yeah,
you would be a brisket, Patrick.
Yeah,
I would, or like neck, jaw.
Jowl.
Don't tell Brandon
about
the stew meat.
I know about the stew meat.
Don't.
I've seen the stew meat. I think he's tried to like give me a bag of the stew meat.
I told a mistake in the open. It was like a 40-pound case of stew meat. I was like, office is closed. Yeah.
Wait, what's the return policy here? He's like,
Brandon,
nope,
you never came
exist.
For lamb last
I'm like,
week.
Nick, close
the
gate.
Has the craving passed?
No, actually, I'm still really having lamb cravings a lot. I really love lamb.
I
kind of just want like a mutton.
Is that your favorite flavor? Favorite meat? Now, you said waterfowl. I agreed with you, actually, duck.
I mean, duck for waterfowl.
No, non-poultry now. Favorite meat, pork, lamb, beef, and what cut?
Man, that's a tough one.
I would say skirt steak is still my favorite, a very good skirt hanger. Skirt.
I do love a skirt.
Cooked way too much.
I love a great New York strip.
Yeah.
I like strip more than ribeye as I get older now. I appreciate more the bistro strip.
I like a strip, too.
Yeah.
I used to love ribeye, and I actually really like a strip now.
Everybody says that when they're old. They're like, yeah, like, you know, we just stop liking the better one.
It is weird. I mean, because your teeth don't work the same. So I guess, like,
I
my
really
dad's the same
I
thing.
You know,
my jaw gets
like
tired.
I do not like filet mignon anymore.
Feeding to
it just fits in the Robocoup a lot easier.
So you would go with lamb? You would have a lamb leg
as my favorite? No, I mean my favorite roast. I think, but no. I think if my favorite piece of meat would probably it's got to be pork. I love like really? Okay. Talk about skirt. Those skirts I got from Heritage were I like to like almost burn them on the outside and have them rare in the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, just with salt.
Yeah.
Salt and nice olive oil and some like.
My
herbs.
Favorite cut in the world though is a cheeseburger. I mean the good Wagyu burger. I mean, yeah. I'll
specifically
have a cheeseburger.
Yeah. That's a cut.
That's his
of
favorite
meat.
Cut. A cheeseburger. My favorite cut of meat is a cheeseburger.
My favorite cut is the Popeyes roast chicken.
Good
have you had
know.
The Popeyes?
Yeah. I have not. No,
I have.
Have yeah. you? Did yeah. you get? Was the there
sandwich?
A fight? A fight broke out?
No, somebody smuggled me one. Dan Janine smuggled me
he
one.
Can go
and what
to
did
jail.
You? And what did you? And what did you think? Because we were talking about this. It has to be. Its popularity has to be based on its crunchiness. That's the one thing that Popeyes has that almost no other chicken places.
It was
just a soft bun and a crunchy.
Yeah,
chicken.
You know, it was much better than Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
It was. a little bit better than a Wendy's spicy number 7.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah,
I love it. So you like Wendy's, if I'm doing the math right, you like Wendy's more than Chick-fil-A.
Oh, 1,000%.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a Wendy's open late.
Wait.
Even great.
Is that why you like it?
Great, even late.
I like
that's their slogan.
Yeah. Carl's Jr. has a Western bacon cheeseburger, but you could get the crispy chicken, the Western bacon crispy chicken.
Oh, have you ever had a McGangbang?
I've never been in one. No.
Do you have to go to 2 fast food restaurants for that?
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's a menage something.
No, it's really good. You get the chicken fillet, the fried chicken, the spicy fried chicken between 2 burger patties.
Oh. What?
It is absolutely delicious.
That's like the double down. Remember the double down where it was like 2 pieces of chicken with like bacon inside of it and cheese? Yeah.
I think that's called a Baconator.
Wait, we have to
I think it was the double down. It was actually, if I'm not mistaken, Sam Sifton reviewed it at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh my
God. Not Kennedy down. Fried Chicken no, up in no. up in Harlem.
KFC.
Hold all your further chicken thoughts. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Main Course OG. This episode is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believe comfort food can be just that. Know where your food comes from. To learn more, visit rt11.com. All right, and we're back. This is the Main Course OG, broadcasting live from the back of Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We were talking about...
hot lettuce.
All right, what is hot lettuce?
Well, like Wendy's...
goes on certain sandwiches.
Yeah, Wendy's. Wendy's, the lettuce is always slightly warm, and it like wilts.
The
and
convection...
then it's, DeFonti's. DeFonti's, that famous place in Red Hook. Yeah. Hot lettuce.
But I only
they serve
like...
hot lettuce? Ooh. It's like a dish?
It's a whole tray.
Oh,
that what? They put on all their Subway sandwiches.
Emily has finally come around to this. She's saying that she would like to actually start, like, do this kind of
with
fast
intention.
Food.
With intention, yeah.
One time, I ate a hamburger from every fast food place in my vicinity when I lived in Fort Greene. So I went to
same
Shake.
Night.
I went to the same day. Yeah, like with it. Oh, with. Disgusting. It was horrifying. So there's a Wendy's.
How'd your belly look after?
Crazier than this.
I so rate horrible. Each one as you tell us.
So I went to Shake Shack first because it was the furthest away. Yeah, solid hamburger. Then solid. I went to Wendy's, was the second one down the line, down the Fulton Mall. McDonald's, Five Guys. Which the one there is no longer there. And then love Smash Burger.
Sorry, so, why not Burger King?
Nobody oh, and Burger King. King. I did go to Burger King.
So what did they rate them?
This is the thing. This is the thing. I lived like on Fulton Street. So walking from downtown towards Fort Greene, it starts Shake Shack, and then it was Burger King, then it was Wendy's, then it was McDonald's, then Five Guys, and then...
let's talk about Burger King.
Smash
yeah,
Burger?
I'm not a fan.
I would fight... anyone who wants to say Burger King's better than McDonald's.
I used to Burger King's chicken
we might have nuggets. To fight because I actually do what? Not like McDonald's. Like, I would take Wendy's over.
Let's take
over
no, but he's saying Burger King to McDonald's.
Who?
But that's what he was saying. What do you like, Burger King?
I would no, take, I'm I saying would McDonald's take, over Burger King.
Yeah, I know, but I would take a Burger King. I would take a Whopper over a Big Mac any day.
What about the whole package? What about the fries?
I don't like the fries. Are just Wendy's Burger King fries are disgusting. They always like try to change them.
Who's trying to be fresh?
Wendy's. Don't they're get like, fresh everything's with me. Fresh. I'm like, I don't want fresh from a fast food place. I want a burger.
It's just not fresh.
They have the soft fries.
Stop listening to these people.
They yeah. also were like, we've never frozen our meat.
The fries at McDonald's are the best.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah. McDonald's like old reliable.
Everything,
Burger King's like a complete failure loser.
Everything besides the hamburger is better at McDonald's. McDonald's just has all of the extra stuff that's better.
I have four words. Jack in the box.
I love it. 99-cent tacos.
Very good alt-fast food restaurant. Very good alt-fast food.
You, me, and Cesare, last year driving in California, we just had In-N-Out.
They make a patty melt. Like, it's like the patty, the Jack or something like that, and it's like a patty melt. Oh man, has this horseradish sauce on it? Yeah.
So guys, listen, you know you're gonna die. You're diagnosed with the terminal illness on the highway. You only have 1 hour to live. What fast food restaurant are you gonna hit, and what are you gonna order? Last Supper.
And this is assuming that all of them are within 50 the hour. Feet.
You're in Minnesota, in St. Paul, Minnesota.
McDonald's large number one with a 10-piece chicken McNugget.
You've definitely thought about this.
What is this?
You have it like written down in your car just in case you're about to have a heart attack. Yeah. In case anybody's like driving
first. Is that Big Mac the number one?
Yeah, Big Mac number one, of course. I love a good Big Mac. But you know, also they have to like sometimes they really suck at salting the fries. You know what I mean? Like that really bothers me. The chicken nuggets are old and they're not. There's no salt.
McDonald's chicken nuggets are not good. That's the one thing I'll give Burger
with barbecue
King.
Sauce.
No, but the McDonald's chicken nugget, they're always that weird square shape.
Cut that out.
Yeah,
Matt.
Cut it. All right. Scrap
that. I'll tell you. Everything that you're saying is bad about that chicken nugget is what makes it great.
Yes, agreed.
It's like ground chicken pieces, probably mostly feet.
You're being like the mom who's like, let's be healthy and go to Burger King, even just because it's worse than McDonald's. You know?
I guess
no one says let's get healthy and go to Burger King.
But in their mind, they somebody like, think does. It's healthier just because it's worse.
I guarantee you it's been said. No, so there's definitely a mom who said that.
Wendy's tries for that. They try to show the fresh lettuce.
I don't know why you're hating on Wendy's.
Guys, you're not going to like go stop at Panera, have a salad and a soup and a Red
Bull? I've never been to Panera,
White Castle, no one's going to say one of the slider burgers?
Nope.
I can't do it.
Yeah, if I'm dead before I have to go to the bathroom,
man.
Okay, let's talk Last Supper with the highest end ingredient. You are not conditioned to fast food. You're actually at the gym.
Can I still get fast food?
I like carne cruda, the northern Italian raw meat.
Really good.
With olive oil. It's not tartare. It's olive oil. Very light. Mm. I could eat 200 pounds of
Some boilito.
I have to have a great cheese plate and really big jumbo shrimp cocktail.
Cheese plate and jumbo shrimp cocktail?
Yeah.
Also, by the way,
so you're going to be at, what's that restaurant? The grill. You'll be at the grill.
Oh, yeah.
I also
that's her dying at the grill.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how the cheese plate is.
Mostarda, that yellow gelatinous ooze with the fruits in it that they have in Tuscany. You know, it's a mustard.
It's like not mustard, but I love that they call it that.
I could eat that on a lot of things.
You've asked this question many times, and I have to imagine that my answer changes every single time.
It does. It's never the same.
Like today, it might be hot pot.
Mm.
Like if I was going to die today, I might just go in on like a full on.
Then you don't have to deal with the post effects.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be dead. So I'll just go full in. I'm just going to be like, let's do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to get everything.
Yeah. I think like high end sushi might be my last meal. If I had, you know,
go to fish in the end.
Yes, betrayed you at two.
Yeah, how about like a 20 course omakase.
I love that shit. I mean, if you're like, I don't want to sit at like, basically eat butter basted and like finger fucked food for like, you know, like 6 hours straight. Like, I'd rather have like a guy.
Look at this refined palate over here. He went straight from how awesome Wendy's is to being like, my last meal would be the most delicate, succulent pieces of fish that man's ever seen.
I want baby whale
sliced.
On
a perfect bed of rice.
And then just hit it with an uni hand roll at the end.
Oh, nice.
You're like, I want you to kill the sturgeon. And I only want the centermost orb. Dispose of the rest.
Oh my God.
Oh, I hope he's doing this in a robe.
Yeah.
A really expensive robe, like
Hugh
a Prada
Hefner.
Robe or something.
Silk.
Like, yeah, silk slippers. Gucci robe.
Do you prefer prosciutto to bacon?
No.
I actually prefer prosciutto.
I do too.
I don't.
I prefer prosciutto.
Yeah. You would.
Prosciutto, I could eat the panini thin, you know, bread.
I do like a nice Spanish ham. But,
sandwich?
Sure, but bacon, man.
Bacon is just so delicious.
Yeah. Well, you should come over and try some of the bats we just
I use bacon fat for almost everything. Oh, I think my wife like hates it. It's probably why I'm dying.
Yeah.
Do you have a tub of
everyone's dying.
Used cooking fat on your counter always?
I do. I do. I save all of my bacon fat and I actually methodically like purify it through like 5 coffee filters usually. Like every once in a while I just go back I put it back in and I cook it all down and then I filter it again. So I have like the clearest, crispiest jar of bacon fat and I use it for everything.
What meal do you cook your family most?
And like, for sorry, Thanksgiving, that's my final question. After you answer Emily's, what are you going to eat for Thanksgiving? Okay. So yeah, what do you cook most?
Probably, it's changing now, but for a long time it was skirt steak. I was in that thing where it was just like, because it's just, and I'm the same way. It's just like burnt on the outside, raw, like just skirt steak.
Red,
and it's
like, so bright red.
Also,
inside.
It's such an easy after a long day of work. It's just such an easy meal to prepare. I also make probably. You know, every week or so, I make like enchilada casserole, which my family loves.
Sounds delicious.
Bueno. Yeah.
I like the pork skirts, though. I like
the pork skirt.
Rare
yes.
pork skirt.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. We
I love rare pork.
That. Patrick sells those.
Yeah, I know.
I'll eat pork raw in the form of prosciutto. There's no other ingredient other than salt.
Cured.
What am I going to eat for Thanksgiving? We're doing prime rib. Which I got as a gift from Pat LaFrieda Meats. And I love it. And a 20-pound turkey. The biggest turkey we got this year out of 7,000 birds weighed 29.7 pounds.
Can you tell me what you're gonna? What's the turkey preparation this year?
I feel like you do not do any turkey preparation, Patrick.
I mean, one
do you
time
do like
I
a
used
little
to
bit
just
of kosher
pour
salt?
Tons of Tabasco over it, and it wouldn't stay with the thing. It would basically soak to the thing, but it actually made it very good. I just stuff a shit ton of herbs. I literally cover the whole thing, and it makes little slits in the bodies. For some reason, people don't make slits in steaks and stuff, but they don't mind making slits in the turkey. They're like not afraid that all the juices.
Who makes slits
come out.
In turkeys?
To stick things in.
To put
lemons,
herbs in, garlic under the skin.
You put it under the skin.
Why would you make a slit?
Yeah, what the fuck?
There's
a huge cavity.
Idiots. How long have you been selling turkeys for? You don't understand how to do this shit?
You make slits in your turkeys?
You can literally just run your hands up inside the skin and pull it out, and you can put anything you want under it.
Yeah. You don't have to make any slits.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't absorb quite like a slit.
No, it actually absorbs better.
No, guys, you don't understand. He wants the sprig of rosemary and thyme to stick out a little.
There's literally a cavity.
It's a visual
ready
thing.
Part of the visual
to be
appeal.
Filled with. I'm gonna do the turkey with sticky rice.
When I do the turkey, I do like to blow between the layer of skin and get it off of get the whole thing off of the turkey. So then its crispiness is
good. God.
It's
just,
but here's the answer. You're not making a turkey.
No, because you know how I feel about turkey. I fucking hate turkey.
He's all excited.
It's one of my least.
Put your hands in there.
Well, I used to just love the whole thing of making a
turkey. So why don't you go prep someone else's and then just be like,
I actually don't mind doing that whole thing. I just, in the end, I make it and then all I want to eat is the skin.
Yeah,
I'm just like eating turkey skin.
But you know what makes it worth it, I think? Turkey sandwiches, it's turkey soup, and turkey chiffon.
I am a fan of
turkey chiffon.
I am a fan of cold turkey and cranberry and mayonnaise.
So good. Tons of mayo.
Like just lathered
just
in mayo.
Just lathered in mayo and cranberry.
Do you
and
put
stuffing.
Bacon on that sandwich the next day?
I mean, I would but stuffing. No, why would you do that?
I wouldn't put bacon because usually I don't have any bacon around. I just, honestly, I've never tried it. I can't say that I would like it or dislike it. I have never done it. But I will put stuffing. And sometimes I will even put some like mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Whatever's there.
Sweet potato.
Yeah. Dude, some ambrosia salad. A little bit of ambrosia salad. Nice caramelized marshmallows in it.
We got to wrap up, but I'm surprised, Trigg, you didn't say my brilliant use of Spanish when the beautiful quesadilla arrived on the table last night. I was like, ¿qué? Cedilla. Like, hey, Cedilla.
Do it one more time.
Do it one more time.
Do you have a
it's
line?
Like, hey,
Cedilla. Oh,
do you have a line like that for every meal?
No.
Like when the turkey comes out?
I invented that little bit of cheese that's not quite rind, not quite the solid cheese. It looks like a little beach. I called it La Plage du Fromage.
Do you know Patrick speaks like seven languages?
Yeah.
Plays the piano?
Yeah. Totally.
I don't play the piano. I'm not a penis. I didn't play. I pretended I was going to play.
You went and played. Nobody's ever played the piano. Oh. I salvaged a piano and it was in my apartment for a long time, and Patrick was the only one to ever play it.
Trig, obviously,
is it still there?
Not well. He just said,
I don't know.
No,
I sold it to my dog walker.
I don't know. Yeah, it's gone.
I sold it to the dog walker.
So the answer is no.
What a shame. Yeah. They're chopsticks for us.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what episode this is. I think this is probably like episode 469.
No, I think 409. Matt, do you know what number it is?
No, because it's 351 by my accounting, which puts you a few, it's like 50 less than
your accounting sucks.
But thanks for the 411 on that.
So when
thanks.
I feel like
when we can't have Mike. We should just try to have Trig as much as possible. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Like if we can't get Mike Edison,
all right, Trig, come
standby,
every. We'll pick you up.
Yeah.
45
we like
minutes.
This. You're a special guest co-host.
No,
on the regular.
There's something about you. We've had Trig on before, where he's just like. Winsun 390 Graham Avenue.
That was a lot of people in the room. I didn't want to be a dick.
Come on. He's like, I've been in those.
It's a little more intimate.
I've been on the radio when you guys invite like 40 people. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's hard.
You're like tucked away in a corner. You don't have a headphone.
True.
You don't have a microphone.
It's
you don't even
really
know what
true.
Anyone's talking about. Yeah, and all of a sudden somebody looks at you for an answer for something. And you're
what
like,
do you think?
Winsun 390
Graham.
We didn't even ask you what the address was. What's your favorite sauce?
What's the biggest challenge of running Winsun? Remember you were like good.
this was like
I think I was mad because I got the bike ticket on.
No, I think he means the time before that. Patrick wasn't there. It was
one time you were
Brandon, you were silent. You were very nervous.
I might have been
not nervous.
I think he was
just
hungover. He looked like he was hungover.
Was like
he
two
was
year,
busy.
No, it was
he
like
had
a
like
year
two
and
restaurants
ago.
To run.
I have definitely been hungover on the radio.
And as a radio intern.
Scared
you know
to
he
say
was a radio
stupid.
Intern for a few weeks. He came into the office.
More than a few weeks. A
few months.
A few months.
Years.
No,
were you in between cooking gigs?
No, I was cooking at Kraft at the time. I was coming in before work, and it was awesome. I learned a lot.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved having a male work there. I think you were the only one
ever.
Yeah,
it was fucking sweet.
And besides Matt. But Matt has his own little house over here, his little singles pad.
Yeah, I lived right around the corner. I like rolled out of bed, super hungover.
Matt, don't tell your wife. It's your singles pad.
He's like, I hung out with 40 different men and women. Over the course of the day.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No, actually, you know, Matt's the one who's learning the most. His brain is expanding at the fastest rate.
Obviously, his accounting is amazing.
Yeah. He's semi-concentrating and tagging all the shows. It's
right.
Amazing.
Yeah,
you do that
yeah.
for years, your brain becomes powerful.
Multifunctional.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
He's probably using 9% of his brain, unlike us that are like at 8.5%.
Yeah. Maybe. I might be a little...
Well, on that note, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. Wishing Peace. Everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and we will be back after the holiday. Talk to you in
happy Thanksgiving.
December. Happy Thanksgiving. The Main Course OG is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.